You know, you turn around and look at the big picture of the Scriptures. And so anyway, we've broken this up over the past couple weeks. Actually, this morning I put the last 2 weeks' messages online, so if you so miss something or you want to refresh or something, you can go onto the church's website, and we have the last two messages on that. But we started talking about what's the main overarching story of the Scriptures. And so far we looked at the idea of creation, that God created this world perfect. When God created everything, it was well, that He had an order to it, a design. And in this, He had a relationship in mind with us. He created us in His image, that we can have a relationship with Him. That we are body, soul, and spirit. The body, the soul, the seat of our emotions, our thoughts. But also we have a spirit, and that spirit connects us to God. That even though He created all things well, God put within the garden a tree. And in here He told Adam and Eve, look, you can have everything, but don't touch, right? Don't eat of that one. And in here, God gave us a choice. And what God wants and gives us is that free will. The God didn't want us to be robots. He could have easily as created us. The angels are kind of locked in of serving Him. Right? He has a multitude of angels who will do whatever He asks them to do. And God didn't want that from us. He wants us to choose Him. He gave us a free will, a choice. Well, the fall is the fact that man chose his own way. He chose his own desires versus those of God. And this really explains the world we see around us. Death, disease are all part of the fall. Are all because of sin in our lives. And last week we looked at, you know, what is sin, and I'm not going to go too much into this, but just to remind ourselves that sin has the idea of a trespass, right? Because what is a sin? Because what we tend to want to do is, you know, I'm not as bad as Chris is, right? But Chris isn't as bad as Nancy is, right? So we want to start pegging our, you know, and no one's like Lorraine, you know. But we want to play this game of judging according to each other that I'm not so bad. Well, we're not the standard. God is. It's His standard, and He's the one that we've sinned against. And, you know, first idea of sin, it has to do with a trespass, right? Don't step on the grass. What do we want to do? We want to step on the grass. Here is the line that God says don't cross, and we want to cross it. And some of this could be intentional or not. Right? Years ago, I was just a kid, and we went down to Arlington. Has anyone been down to Arlington, down in D.C.? It is such an emotional place, even as a kid, to feel the weight of it all. And we went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And while we were there, they have it all roped up, and you're not allowed to get in. There's a guard that's there. And while we're all standing around, this kid who wasn't listening decided he was going to grow up and try to touch the tomb. And so he did. He stood underneath the gate and he started running across, and the guards there actually pulled the weapon onto the kid and said, freeze. Right? And the parents, you know, the kid froze, and they got the kid back, and they're like, whoa! Right? And it's funny because they're talking about, it's like, you know, it's the kid didn't know probably, right? But still, there's a line, and he crossed that line. Second idea of sin has to do with missing the mark. Right? That we turn around and say, here, you know, I always have this idea of, does anyone like amusement rides? No? Amusement rides, you go upside down, you know, want to make you throw up. And the older I get, the little more sensitive my stomach is. I used to like the whole shake 'em up, you know, type of rides. But you go up through and, you know, you got to be this tall to be on the ride. You know, I see the kids that come up and try to stretch themselves and try to get up there, and the guy says, no, right? You've missed the mark. You've missed the mark.
But here the standard is God is holy. God is perfect. The standard is perfection. And I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. I fall short of what I should do. Right? I miss the mark. And that's sin. We have sins of omission. I didn't fix this from last week. They're out of order. We have sins of omission. Right? There are things I should do, and I don't do them. The Bible says, he who knows what's right and does it not, to him it is sin. Right? We all are guilty of that. There are things that we should do, but we don't. Then we just have outright rebellion. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. Don't you tell me I'm wrong, right? And these are sort of encompasses sort of the idea of what sin is. And because of all these things, we come to the conclusion that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I can't get on my high horse and say, oh, look at you sinners, because I got a whole bunch of my own that I need to take care of. We have all sinned. And we left it last week with this idea that, man, God's a holy God, and we're not. That's kind of a depressing way to leave last week, right? That we were in this condition, we're lost, we're separated. Our relationship with God has been severed. And in this, it affects everything about us in the world we see today. But God didn't leave us there. The story continues. We have the creation, how God created all things. We have the fall, that sin was introduced into this world. But in here, the story continues that God still loves you and loves me and wants to have a relationship with us. And He redeems us. The idea of redemption has to be the idea of buying back. Then in here, remember we talked about in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. And the account unfolds. That Adam and Eve, they saw the tree, right? Eve saw the tree, and it was pleasant to the eye, right? It was a desire to make one wise, and she took it and she ate of it. She rebelled against God and gave it to her husband, and he took it as well. And the Bible says that God came down and said, hey, Adam and Eve, where are you? And what did Adam and Eve do? They ran and hid. That relationship has been severed because of sin. And Adam and Eve, because they realized that they were naked and clothed themselves, they tried to cover up their own shame. Right? Ever have the kid, you know, catch the kid with a cookie jar? Sunday nights, there's, I think it's AFV, America's Funniest Videos. Everybody watch that show. And they're showing this one there, and they have this kid, and there's a chocolate cake. And they ask, hey, Bobby, did you touch the cake? And he's like, no, I didn't touch it. Are you sure you didn't? Oh, I didn't touch it. And they turn around, the kid's got chocolate like all over the place, right? Right? Yes, you had the cake. Oh, I didn't have any cake. Right? Adam and Eve, they realize their shame, and they try to cover it up. And God does an interesting thing. Genesis 3:21 says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Here we have in the very beginning of the Bible, it talks about that God made a covering for Adam and Eve. And in that covering required, remember the wages of sin is death, the separation. God said, the day you eat of it, you'll die. The penalty, the wages of our sin is death, is that separation from God. And in here, the only way to give that, to cover that, or redeem that, is something of equal price. Right? Years ago, my oldest daughter, she was just a little kid, and she had $2 bills. And she was like all excited. She, you know, $2. She had $2. And her grandmother came up and was trying to do, I can't remember why she was trying to do it. She goes, look, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a $5 bill for your $2 bills. Now, how many of you think that's a great idea? Right? I'll give you $2, you give me $5. Right? Well, when you're like 5 years old, she's like, no, I have two bills, you have one. And she's all upset because Grammy was trying to rip her off. Because, you know, I have two, you're giving me one. Well, because the value, right, isn't equal. To redeem us, something of equal price has to be given. The price is death. And God took an animal and killed it and clothed Adam and Eve with it. That in here, He covered it. And we have this picture all throughout the Old Testament of this covering of sin. The sacrifices of all these animals in the Old Testament are a picture of what was to come. The Bible tells us that it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, Hebrews tells us. Now, I don't know if you see this picture here, but when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, He said, I want you to take a lamb, I want you to sacrifice it, and I want you to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. Put it on the top and put it on the side. And I'm going to send my death angel down through, and when he sees the blood, he will pass over. That's where we get the term Passover comes. The judgment was passed over the house because the blood was applied. But Hebrews tells us that the blood of a goat, the blood of a lamb, the blood of a bull, none of these things can take away our sin. And a big part of it has to do with the idea of equal value. That a lamb or a goat is not equal to your life. Because we're much more valuable. So in order to be redeemed, something of equal value has to do. In our house, we don't give allowance to our kid, but we tell Lauren that, look, if you want to collect the bottles around the house, you can cash those in. Right? So she collects all the bottles up, and we actually just yesterday went down to the Redemption Center. Right? And in here, you make a deposit of 5 cents on a bottle, and when you go to redeem it, they give you 5 cents back. Right? Of equal value. And so the Old Testament, we have this idea of our sins are covered, not taken away. They're not paid for. But each sacrifice was a reminder of a price that was going to be paid. In a sense, each sacrifice was sort of an IOU. That the lamb that was sacrificed didn't pay for the sins, but it was a promise of a sacrifice that was going to happen. That would pay for it. Throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, we see the sacrifice of blood. That sin, God covered. The word atonement means God covered the sin. But each one of those is a promise of what was going to come. Two 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. And He died. This morning in communion, we partook that in here. We took of the bread. We said, this is the body. This is represents Jesus' body that was put upon the cross. We took the juice, which represents His blood. He gave that sacrifice. He paid all those. He paid all those past IOUs. Each lamb pointed that Jesus was going to die for us. Peter tells us, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, and he goes on like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That Christ paid His ultimate price for us. Now, it's interesting. So here's an interesting dynamic. Right? Because we have sin, the penalty of that sin is death. That's the price we need to pay. That's the ultimate price. And we looked at, look, the sacrificing of an animal won't take that away because it's not equal. So in order for someone to pay for your sins, it has to be another person. But guess what? I can't pay for your sin. You know why? Because I have my own debt. Right? I have my own penalty. I can't pay someone else's debt. As much as I love my daughter, I can't pay for her sins because I have my own sins to take care of. Does that make sense? So that sets up a really interesting dynamic. In order for us to be redeemed, it has to be a man. It has to be a person without sin. Well, the Bible tells us all have sinned. There's no one who's qualified. That sets up this huge problem. Until Jesus comes. And here's the important fact. That Jesus was 100% man, but He was also 100% God. Corinthians tells us, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." The simple fact is, Jesus came and He had no sin. Lived His whole life, didn't commit a single sin because He was able to because He was God. But because He had no sin, He didn't deserve the punishment. He didn't deserve the payment. But He took it. He took your debt and my debt and died upon the cross. He bore the shame. He bore the guilt. This is where the story turns into a wonderful story. That God saw us dead in our trespasses and sin, and in here offered us salvation. On the cross, Jesus Christ declared, "It is finished." His last words on the cross was, "It is finished." Well, what was finished? The debt was paid. In the Old Testament, all those lambs and all those bulls, all those things, each one was an IOU that someday someone's going to pay this debt. Someone's going to pay it. And by faith, they believed that. And Jesus came and finally He paid for it all. Not only that, but He paid for our sins. I wasn't even thought of at the time. And yet He died for all our sins. And all the sins that you ever committed and every sin that you will ever commit, He took upon the cross. The Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, the overarching story isn't that there's a God in heaven and He's just messing around with mankind. That God's up in heaven laughing at us while we kind of squirm and flounder through this life. That's not at all the gospel story. The gospel story is a wonderful love story of God who created all things perfect and wonderful, and they rebelled. We rebelled. But He came to save us. We couldn't do it ourselves. But God Himself became a man that He may die for you and me. That's an amazing thing. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at this idea, the wages of sin is death. But that verse doesn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That we are born separated from God. We're born dead in our sins. But God loves us so much, He offers His Son for you. That eternal life with Him forever. Now remember, we put this up on the board last week. Right? This Roman says the wages of our sin is what? It's death. Right? And, you know, last week we used the illustration. You know, imagine if you worked all week and your boss decided he's only going to pay you for half the week. I'd be upset. Right? He'd be an awful boss. He'd be unfair. Right? Give me what I deserve. And I've done that. I had my paycheck messed up and I had to go back in and say, hey, wait a minute. You only paid me for 20, you owe me for 50 or 60, right? Give me what I deserve. Well, God is the ultimate judge. He's the fair judge. And the Bible says the wages of my sin, because I sin, I deserve death. Now, I put my name on here, but you can put your name on here. The wages of your sin, what you are earning in your life, is death, the separation from God. The Bible says if you've committed one sin, you're guilty of them all. But what God has done in our lives is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That Jesus took my name and crossed it out on that check and wrote His. That in here, the justice of God is satisfied. God has to judge. Right? He just can't let us go because He's holy and He's righteous. But instead of that wrath and judgment being poured on me, it's poured on Christ. Years ago, I heard a missionary tell a story. That here in the tribe in Africa, that he set up a penalty. And he says, look, if you go out and anyone who steals will get 30 lashes with a cane. So that was the law. Well, one day they brought and said, we've caught someone stealing. They said, bring him to me. So the whole tribe gathered around to see what he was going to do. It was discovered as they brought up the criminal, it was his own mom. And he was tossed. He goes, I love my mom. With everything that's in me, I would love to let her go. But if I let her go, everyone's going to point to me and say, hey, you're an awful chief. You're an awful judge. So the crowd demanded, give us justice. So he said, give her 20 lashes. And the big strong guy whose job was to get the lashes came up with the cane and he goes, hold on a second. And he got off the throne, he took off his robe, and he laid himself over his mom and said, go ahead. He took the blows. That's a wonderful picture of what Christ did for us. And it is a wonderful gift that God has given us. You know, we make church and the Bible about so many different things, but at the core of it all is a story that we are just sinners who cannot save ourselves. There's nothing I could do to earn my place in heaven. But God, the Holy Creator God, comes down to us. And He took our penalty. The Bible tells us that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We use this term being saved. What it means is be saved from the penalty of your sins. That gift, though it's offered and it is given, it is for each one of us to personally accept. Let me ask you, in your life, is there a time in which you told God, you know what? Lord, I trust in you to take away my sins. That, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. Have you done that? And we talk about this wonderful story, how God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But each one of us has to make that personal decision to take that gift. And some people say, no, I'm fine. I'm not that bad. I don't need it. Some people say, you know what? I want to do what I want to do. I don't want God in my life. I want to do my own thing. Some people say, hey, you know what? I'm good enough. I'm going to earn it myself. And the Bible says all those things fall short. It's a gift of God He offers each one of us. You know, when I get up to heaven, He says, hey, why should I let you in? It's not because I was good. It wasn't because I went to church. It wasn't because I read my Bible. It wasn't because I put money in a plate. It wasn't because I was better than someone else. The only answer that will get you in is because I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I trust in Him. That is a gift that's offered to everyone, but not everyone receives it. This morning I want you to be part of that story of redemption. You know, I talked about, you know, God made everything perfect, and then He turned around and there's sin and there's fall. That fall came in and we're separated from God. That's a horrible place to leave that story. That each one of us can have that opportunity to say, God, I want you. I want to have a relationship with you. It can be just a simple prayer of, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me. And Lord, I want to give my life to you. But it's a point in which all of us need to make that. So I said it in Romans, where it turns around. For if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you didn't have any sin, but you took mine. You died on the cross, and 3 days later, you rose again. Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to accept that free gift. And a wonderful verse tells us, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one who comes and says, Lord, you know what? I want that free gift. I want to be with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want my sins forgiven. Anyone who says that and comes to Him, God says, no, not you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your background. He offers you that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and said, you know what, I did that. Maybe I did that a long time ago. That's why we love Jesus. I love the Lord because He loves me. He forgave me. He gave His life for me. What a wonderful reason to be here this morning. That in here, accepting Christ as your Savior, that's where it all begins, a new life. our new relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, right where you're at, you can ask Him. And there's no special magic words. As long as you mean it from the heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, there are those here this morning who have made that decision for You, Lord, that they have given their life to You, Lord. They've asked You into their hearts, into their lives, Lord. They've accepted that gift of salvation, Lord. And in this, Lord, You've bound in us a relationship with You. And we praise You and exalt You, Lord, each day for the gift that You've given us, a gift of love. Now, Lord, in light of such a great gift, Lord, I have nothing to do in return but to live for You, to love You. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has never made a personal acceptance of that gift, Lord, I pray this morning will be that morning. Now, Lord, right where they're at, they can say just a simple prayer of, Lord, I believe that You are God. Lord, You came and You died and You rose again. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life, come into my heart, Lord. Forgive me of my sins, and Lord, help me to live for You. Lord, while a prayer like that doesn't save, Lord, it's the belief in the heart. It's the sincerity of trusting in You that, Lord, You will not turn anyone away. Lord, we can be part of that redemption story in You. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.